Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your anointing, your spirit. Thank you, God, it's the anointing that breaks every yoke. Thank you, God, that the wisdom of God is here in this place. It's because of Jesus. And so we say thank you for leading, guiding, directing in the name of Jesus. Amen. My God is. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made him share our sin in order that in union with him, we might share the righteousness of God. So therefore, we have been made righteous because of Jesus. Isn't that? That is the greatest news you will ever hear. I'm going to be talking about this Sunday and next Sunday, the names of God. There's different, many, many names of God that he revealed himself to different people and to the world. You know, once you, back in those days, the names meant something. There's redemptive names that God revealed himself to. In other words, what redeemed mankind back to God? What God did to make everything just perfectly right between man and God? And so Jesus was the perfect Savior, and his redemption covers the whole scope of human need. Every single need that man would ever need, Jesus covered it. And so these names will be a blessing to us because they reveal something that God the Father did for mankind. So the first one we're going to talk about is Jehovah Shammah. It means the Lord is there. The Lord is there, or the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:35 is the first time that this was revealed. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. And in Hebrew, it would be Jehovah Shammah. Instead of the Lord is there, in Hebrew, that is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. And in Hebrews, the New Covenant, chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do to me. Amplified version. Let your character, more disposition, be free from the love of money, including greed, variance, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Stop right there. This is really, in the Greek, this is what that really means. And so the English really emphasizes what the Greek says. I will, that's why it says it three times. I will not in any degree leave you helpless nor let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. That's what the Greek is saying in the King James, and all of these other versions really didn't emphasize what the Greek, it just interpreted the best it could. But the Amplified really interprets it the best way by saying, hey, listen, I will, you know, if I, you know, when you're a parent, you say something to your kids, you better not do that. Do you understand? No, you better, and you just nail that nail all the way in a coffin, you know, because you're emphasizing this is important. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what God was saying. This is important. I'm not even going to relax my hold on you. And so many times, you know, when, you know, we get condemned if we sin or we mess up, you know, if we say something really bad or negative or we treat our spouse bad, this is the thing. When you do mess up, this is when we feel like that God's hold on us is somewhat relaxed or even let goes. But this is what God is saying. I'm not going to let go of you no matter what. No matter what. And some of you may have kids that maybe are serving God or whatever, and they're just running wild and into the world. You know what God's saying? I got them. I got them. I'm not going to let go of them. They can't escape my hand. Can anybody escape the hand of God? No, they cannot. So this is what God, just be reassured that God is not going to leave anybody. I will not ever forsake you. I'm not even going to relax my hold on you. And then he just says, assuredly not. And just in case you didn't get all the other. Assuredly not. Why? Because he is Jehovah Shammah. I wish I could speak Hebrew. It just sounds cool. Jehovah Shammah. Okay, you all didn't get that. But anyway, the next one, Jehovah Shalom, is translated the Lord our peace. This is, I love them all, but boy, I really like this one. This is in the atonement because the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The first time that this was introduced, it's kind of like God introduces himself. You know, hello, I'm Mike Davis. Hello, I'm Mike. Hello, I'm Pastor Davis. Hello, I'm Pastor Mike. You know, there's only so many names, but then, you know, it's who I am. Really, just by saying my name, people go, oh, so what does that mean? Now, if I say Pastor Mike, you know, then you know, oh, you're a pastor. This is what God was doing to people. He would sit there and he would introduce himself. I am Jehovah Shalom. Then all of the Hebrew people knew, oh, we know what Shalom means. We know what that means. So they knew immediately something about the character of God, who he was. And so Shalom in Judges chapter 6 verse 24 is the first time that was mentioned. Then Gideon, you remember the story of Gideon? He had 10,000 people. He was going to go fight the enemy. And God said, no, you got too many. Got it all the way down to 300. And you just think, man, you got 300 guys. I started with 10,000. I like the number 10,000. To go fight an army, God, you're saying I just need 300. Okay. This is what God, the point in that story, but there's many points, let me just say that. But the point is, I don't want you to trust the arm of the flesh. If you got 10,000 people, you're going to say the 10,000 won the victory. And I'm going to be left out of the picture. But if you're going to fight an army that they looked down and it was like the sand of the seashore, you know, that's how many they were coming against, and you got 300 that's going to go and win, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the credit for this one because you're going to know it wasn't you. And this is the point. God wants us, no matter what we're doing in life, listen to me, no matter what we're doing in life, we need to trust God. No matter how great you are, gifted in a certain area, you still need to trust God. You could be the best of the best. You could be Elon Musk, where his just brain swells when he looks at some kind of technology. You know, even at that, you still got to trust God. You got to trust God. Or you should. Let me say you don't got to. You should trust God. But then Gideon sit there. God said, then Gideon, verse 24, Judges 6, 24. Then Gideon built an altar there. This was after the victory. There and to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, our peace. This is one of the greatest. Shalom, you know, that's what I've said this many times. That's what the Jewish people say when they greet. Their greeting is shalom. And then when they say goodbye, they don't say goodbye. We say hello. Hey, see you later. Goodbye. No, they say shalom again. And this is what that one word shalom means in Hebrew. Are you ready? It means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, secure, freedom from worry, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, prosperity, well-being, and success in all areas of life. Man, you know, Budweiser used to say, you said Bud, you said it all. You say Pete. You can say that in a pulpit, all right? You're looking, I thought we were in church. You are. I shouldn't even have to explain myself, but I can tell some religious people come or listen online, they go, he shouldn't say that. Bud. Anyway. This is to scare all religious spirits out of our church. They can't come to this church, just so you know. They get to the door, poof, and they can't come in. What am I trying to say? When you said, Bud, you said it all. When you say shalom, you said it all. You said it all. I mean, it's the word that God, and God says, that's what I am. And that's why it's so neat that when Jewish people, that shalom, they're saying that to you. May the peace, may the shalom be upon you. What are they saying? May completeness be upon you. May soundness be upon you. Welfare, peace, safety, secure, freedom from worry, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, prosperity, well-being, and success in all areas of your life be upon you. What a greeting. And God says, I am that. That is what I am. Shalom. The Greek in the New Testament, it's, of course, in Greek, not Hebrew. So the word, I looked it up in an English lexicon on somatic domains, just so you know I'm not making this up. And peace means to exist or be in abundance. To exist or be in abundance. You know, there's so much, you know, people just, it's funny how certain things get brought up in churches around the world where they say, you know, there's no such thing as prosperity gospel, and they try to just throw all this down. And I get, you're right, prosperity gospel, no. But prosperity is in the gospel. It is. And the word peace, even in the definition of that word, is abundance. And so God wants, and you know what? This is what I believe. If the devil can ever deceive the church in that it's the will of God for you to be sick or poor, I'm telling you, this is that. I don't want to brag or comment that the devil does something good, but that's one good thing that he does good, if I can say that. If he could get the church to think that it's the will of God for you to be sick or it's the will of God for you to be broke, why? Because if you're sick, you're really not going to do that much for the kingdom of God. And if you're broke, you're really not going to be able to do that much for the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. God uses sick people, and God uses people that can't rub two quarters together. Because God will do anything and everything. He's unlimited. I'm just saying, I believe he can do much more with a healthy, prosperous body that can do all things through Christ. Amen. God planned to restore the shalom by and through Jesus giving us redemption. I mean, there was none of the shalom really much going on in the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament. But now you come into the New Covenant. You know, it's the Christmas season. It's official. I saw on Facebook, you can now decorate your tree. For those who want Ron Waller to decorate in October. But anyway, there are certain people that do that, but that's fine. No condemnation in this church. You can decorate in June if you want. We love you. Just think you're a little weird, but we love you. But anyway, I'm kidding a little. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This is a great Christmas scripture. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. Peace. What is he saying? That's the word. It's the same equivalent to the Hebrew word shalom. Of course, it's in Greek. It's irony or something like that. I can't pronounce it. But God, glory to God in the highest and on earth. God was saying this. The baby Jesus is born, and now that peace is on earth. It's on earth. That's good news. It says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But this is, it's not stopping there. That was good news for the whole earth, for peace to be on the earth. But then after the resurrection, and right before the resurrection, John 16, 33, Jesus sits there in one of the last messages that he tells the disciples. He says, in the world, you're going to have trials, tribulations, distress, frustrations. You're going to, all hell's going to break loose. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power and ability to harm you. So this is the thing. Peace was on the earth because Jesus was peace and he was walking on the earth. But after the resurrection, Jesus said, now the message is, he was telling his disciples, my peace I give unto you. So now it's not just peace on the earth, it's peace in you. Okay, did you get that? So that's what this means. Jesus didn't come just to bring peace to the earth. Jesus came to the earth so that peace can live inside of you. So that what? Shalom can live inside of you. So now, inside of every person who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he's saying. Inside of you, right now, not when you get to heaven, right now today, shalom is inside of you, which means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, secure, freedom from worry, health, tranquility, contentment, friendship, prosperity, well-being, and success in every area in your life is inside of you today. All of that is in you today. Thank God that peace came to the earth, and that was a great message for the angels to say, but even greater news than that is that now peace comes to dwell inside of you. And this is why God wanted to restore shalom to all mankind. Shalom to us. So, my God is, that's the title of the message, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. God is my peace. Amen. When all hell is breaking through in your life, when it doesn't seem like you can't meet the bills or everybody's sick and your husband's ticked off at you and your dog bit you. Sounds like a country song. Anyway, when all that's going on, this is when something inside of you is speaking. I've said this. The Lord revealed this to me a few years ago. I was teaching up at Karis when he revealed this to me. It's great. Sometimes you teach and everybody goes, wow, that was great. Like, yeah, it was. I didn't even know what I just said. I've done that. I mean, that's God. It's hard to explain, but sometimes I say something and everybody goes, man, that was really good. And I go, it was. And I go, well, wow, aren't you braggadocious? No, I didn't know it. I didn't know what I said. It was great. But this is one thing. I said, God is speaking to you 24/7 all the time. Your spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. The spirit, man, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, your spirit and God's spirit has been made one. So Jesus and you are one on the inside, which means Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. So the Word of God and you are one on the inside, which means the Word is speaking 24/7 because that's what the Word does. So inside your spirit man says all the time, by his stripes you are healed. You've been made the head and not the tail. You've been made above and not beneath. Whatever you set your hand to prospers. Thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph. No sickness, no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. That is speaking to you and me 24/7. Now you get your head wrapped around that. People says, I need to hear from God. He's speaking. He's speaking 24/7. It's our soul, our will, and our mind and emotions that gets cluttered up. Because the spirit man wants everything that is spoken to be manifested out here. But it's our will, our mind, and our emotions, our believing, or the lack of it, that cloudies or muddies the river or blocks up the flow for that spirit to come out and make sure it gets manifested out here. Does that make sense? But it's speaking. The Spirit of God is speaking all of the time. All of that. I just can't hear from God. This is why it's good to know the Word of God so you can tell what is being said from your spirit throughout your will and your mind and your emotions. Because when your mind gets renewed to the Word of God, it's real easy to hear, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. It's real easy to hear. And all of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. It's real easy to hear that I have the abundant life. Thanks be to God who always meets my needs in an abundant way. It's always but you need to renew your mind to what the Word of God says, so it's not like a foreign language when you hear the Spirit of God speaking in you. You know? I mean, I can come up to you, somebody, and go, Habanigani. I just spoke a language. I mean, you know what? Habanigani. Don't raise your hand, Vicky. Habanigani. You know what that means? What does that mean, Vicky? How are you? Only one person in this whole congregation knew that. She could hear because she knew what the language was speaking to her. Listen to me. This is good. The Word of God is like that. It could be foreign to your mind to say you're the healed of the Lord because your body is feeling sick. It could be foreign to you because you can't rub two quarters together. It says you are prosperous and there is abundance inside of you. That could be a foreign language to you, and so you just dismiss it. But if you know the language, like Vicky knew that, then you go, oh, I understand. I see it. I get it. So when you study the Word of God, this is why you read, this is why you study, this is why you come to church, because you all of a sudden, you hear a familiar language that's on the inside of you that's speaking to you, and it says, by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. You go, yes, I am. You heal. You hear that my God meets all of my needs, and He will cause you to prosper. God takes pleasure. We say it every Sunday. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. He takes pleasure in prospering me. That's not a foreign thing, because God wants you to prosper. So you hear that and you go, yes, I am. I'm prosperous. Amen. It's not a foreign language to you. Shalom is inside of you. Shalom is inside of me. So this is why you need to get, because God is speaking. People go, I just don't know. He's not speaking to speak. Well, you got to get to the language. You got to learn it. You got to understand it. How can two walk together unless they agree? That's what the Bible says. So if you believe that, you know, it's not the will of God for me to be healed. It's not the will of God for me to be blessed. I don't know. Nothing goes right in my life. That's what you're saying. And the real you, your spirit man, is saying, you're healed. You're blessed. You're surrounded with the favor of God. You have what it takes to succeed in life. But two cannot walk together. Even though He'll never leave you, never forsake you, two cannot walk together in unity unless they agree. You're the one that's disagreeing with what God is saying. Are you getting that? So we have to come into an agreement to walk together so that what His desire is, it's the will of God, what His will is, will be manifested out here. Amen. Oh, glory. I think I said all that. All right. Jehovah Ra'ah. It's Ra-AH. It means the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23. The majority of the people on the planet know that scripture. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I was a kid, I read that. It was so confusing to me. Was that a confusing? Everybody would quote that. Nobody would explain it in my church, so I didn't know. I thought, does that mean we don't want God or what? The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want Him. I don't want Him. That's what I thought all the years growing up. I hated that scripture. Everybody, oh, that's my favorite scripture. And inside of me, I go, I don't like that scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I just thought, we don't want God. Bunch of heathens. Y'all quoting that all the time. I'm not quoting it. I'm not quoting that. Anyway, sometime last year, I finally figured it out. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, took a long time. I think I was in my upper teens probably when I finally figured out. I don't have any want because He's my shepherd. I don't have, you know, sheep, it may be your favorite creature. But from what I understand and what I read, they're really dumb. I mean, if they drink from really fast running water, they can drown drinking water, not booze, water. They can die from because anyway. So on a scale of 1 to 10, they're about a 20 when it comes to intelligence. But anyway, the good thing is they have a shepherd. They have to have they'll starve to death if the shepherd doesn't take them to a great place where they can eat. And anything can kill them. They have no defense mechanism at all. Just, bah! I mean, that's not going to scare anybody away. You know what I mean? A wolf comes around, bah! Lunch! The interpretation is that, eat me! I mean, that's what it is. Kill me, whatever you want to do. Just do it. That's why I'm going, bah! It's not even have mercy on me. It's like, I'm dead. I mean, and that's just what they are. So they need help. Everybody's laughing. You and I are represented in the Bible as sheep. So keep laughing. That's why we need a shepherd. Because we can do dumb things and make poor decisions. I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that. God's up in heaven going. Anyway, so the shepherd protects them. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd makes sure they are taken. He will lead them to green pastures. He will protect them from the wolves and everything that, because they have no protection whatsoever. No claws, no nothing, no speed. You ever see a sheep? Run! I am. Faster! I am. My wife is the slowest walker on the planet. There's nobody who walks slower than my wife. And I'm from FedEx type gene, you know what I mean? I just naturally walk Mach 1, you know what I mean? I'm just, boom, I'm in, boom, I'm out. Everybody thinks, oh, you late for a plane? You know, when I'm at an airport, I walk fast. That's my normal speed, buddy. No, I'm here 2 hours early. Boom, I'm walking. That's the way I am. Melody, it's like, one time she says, Mike, you just need to slow down. I told her, if I slow down anymore, I will just fall over. I mean, you have to at least walk a certain speed so you don't fall over. Oh, what happened to him? I was walking too slow. Anyway, what was my point? Sheep are like that. They just don't, they can't run away from anything. Have y'all got the point of a sheep? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The concept of God, of Yahweh as shepherd, is in Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. Jesus demonstrated this when, as a shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. Why? So they could have perfect peace, perfect protection, shalom to them. Because the shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And the great thing about it, you know, they say in Israel, they put all of the sheep in the same sheep pen. All of the different shepherds would come, and they would put them all in there. And this is just a side note. They said that no sheep pens could be around Jerusalem. That was the main city, you know, of course. And so the shepherds, they said, nope, you can't put sheep pens around here. Guess why? The smell. Have you ever passed a cow, what do you call it? Feedlot. Thank you. You ever pass a feedlot? All of my years growing up in Kentucky, I didn't even know what a feedlot was, never smelled that. I come out to Colorado the first time in my life, and we're driving to past Rocky Ford, and there's a feedlot right off Highway 50 in Rocky Ford. I go, dear Lord, what died? And how many of them died? Because you could tell it was really, really bad. Oh, my wife starts explaining, that's a feedlot. That's where they, I said, what's a feedlot? You know, and that's where they, you know, have cattle that have been brought in. They just feed them, and they poop. Feed them and poop. Feed them and poop. That's their life right before they are slaughtered and become on your plate. Hamburgers, anyone? Anyway, so they knew this in Jerusalem, so they would not let sheep pens be around Jerusalem. Guess where all the sheep places were they designated? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And all of the shepherds saw all the newborn sheep born in Bethlehem. This is why the angels came to the shepherds, because a newborn is going to be born to you. So all of the shepherds got the news first that God became the perfect lamb. He became the perfect lamb. Anyway, that's my side note. Anyway, so all of the sheep were in one pen. Get back to my original story. And so, but this is what a shepherd would say, okay, he's going to get up and call his sheep out. You know, I mean, they didn't have branding back then. They didn't have that. They just said, all right, I don't know what a shepherd says. Giddy up, go. I don't know. You know what? I have no idea. Maybe, bah, let's go. I don't know what he did. But anyway, all of the sheep that were his knew his voice, and they would be the only ones when they would open up the gate that would walk out. So I guess they're not 100% dumb, because at least they could do that. So he would speak, and just his sheep would come out, and they would follow him. This is why the Bible, Jesus said this, my sheep know your voice. And the reason is because sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. Ever since they were born, they would hear the voice of the shepherd over and over and over again. So they would hear his voice. And so when he would call them, they would follow that. And the Bible says the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So another shepherd could go up to him and really point to this one. You need to follow me. Now, come on, you get out of here. Just get, come. No, he doesn't know your voice. Then the real shepherd would come up and say, all right, I don't know if you named them or what. And they probably could tell them apart. They all look like sheep to me, you know. Furry boy, come on, let's go. Let's go. And he would get up and they would follow him. My sheep hear my voice. This is why God is saying in the Word of God that you and I are sheep, and he's the shepherd, and he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. The voice of a stranger you will not follow. So there's great protection. You know, I made fun of sheep, but in reality, God chose that because the sheep need a shepherd. The sheep need a shepherd. Wow. All right, I'll just, you know what, we'll pick up here next week. I can't believe this time just went by. Can you all? I talk too much about cows and poop, I guess. I don't know, but listen to me. These names, you need to know that this is what God is to you. He is every one of these. He is your Shalom. Amen. He wants you to know all of the names of God. He introduced himself in the Bible to people so that they would understand who God was. They didn't know. Because listen, there were many different false idols and gods back in that day. If you study culture back in the time of Abraham, it was very common for your firstborn to be offered to your God. It was just common knowledge. It was so common. Because, you know, they believed that they were dependent upon a higher force. And so, from what I understand, like they would have, if they were crops and herds people, you know, the herdsmen. That's not right. They were raised livestock. So they either raised livestock, not either or, most of them raised livestock and farmed so they could feed their family. So they would have a field. And so they would take like maybe a tenth of it or 20% and burn that off to their God. And they would kill the fatted calf for their God. We kept doing that and they would have some success, and then it would be a bigger trial, a bigger thing happened. So they would up the ante for their God. So it grew, can you believe this? It grew to the point to where they would offer up their firstborn son to their God. So it was very common during Abraham's time. Eventually, everybody knew that you would have to sacrifice your son. So this is why you read in Genesis when God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. You don't hear, What? You know, because I always thought when I was younger, I go, I would have said, like, I love you, but I don't think so. No, he didn't say one word. Why? He knew this was going to come. But this is what God did when Abraham brought Isaac up there. He was getting ready to do it. He said, no, I want you to know that's not the kind of God that I am. I provide my own sacrifice. Everything you need in life, including the sacrifice, it's not up to you to provide it. I provide my own. Isn't that a powerful story? Next time you read it, man, it just brings so much power to that story that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because it was common back in that day. And God was saying, it's a common thing with all the other gods, but I'm the God of all gods, and I don't work that way. I don't work that way. So God said, I provided my own sacrifice. And Abraham kind of knew it because when Isaac said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. And he did. And he wanted Abraham to know that I'd always provide. So when we start talking about these names, this is God introducing himself to you and to me. This is what I am to you. This is what I am to you. Let's stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Father, we just thank you that our eyes would be open to what you're wanting us to know about you, Father. You are everything. This is why you said it to Moses, I am that I am. Now, God, we need to know. Open up our eyes that we'll know in a greater degree as we study these names of who you are, that it will become real to us. Not just a name that we read on a page, but that name would come alive inside of us. That we would renew our mind, and we would hear what the spirit man is saying. We would hear what the spirit man is saying. And so, Father, we believe.